We mix it up quite a bit. But good, it's good to see you back tonight. I'm excited to be able to share some of the things that God has placed on my heart. And a couple things I want to do before we even get into our time in the scriptures tonight and sharing a little bit of the vision. Two things, and some of you guys may need to get up and help me with this, but let's grab some calendars from the back and let's grab some of the, if we have any more of these vision night pamphlets, I want to get both of those. And if you didn't get one this morning, when they come by, just take one of the calendars from them. If you got one, you're like, I want to make sure they have enough before I grab another one, we'll just go ahead and grab another one. We've got plenty of them back there. And then we'll be using this tonight. So I hope that you brought it back with you tonight, like I asked you to. But this Vision Sunday pamphlet, they're going to grab those. And you guys just come on to the front here and then just walk back. Anybody who waves at you, throw something at you, then you can give them a pamphlet. That'll be just great. And while they're passing those out for us, and you guys go right ahead, I want you all to be taking your Bibles with me and going to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we're going to be in many places tonight. So as they come by, just raise your hand up if you need a calendar or if you need one of those pamphlets, they'll be sure to get those to you. And Acts chapter 17 is where the rest of you can be going in your Bibles tonight. What a great morning the Lord blessed us with this morning. How many of you are thankful for those two men that got baptized this morning? What a blessing. Yeah, amen. I heard it especially from Miss Tamara right there. That's a blessing. And I tell you, it's just a blessing to my heart to see men and women following the Lord and unashamed of their faith in Christ. And it's already been a great start to the year. Still praying for the first person of the year to get saved, but I am thankful for several signed up to join and several who have been baptized already. And it sure has been a blessing to see some of those things happen. Now, I have to say that the chicken story from last week has become a hit. That's all I can say. I am now meeting random strangers in town who know my chicken story, and they don't even know me, okay? And I have all of you to thank for that, all right? But here's what I'll say. If you share the gospel as much as you share my chicken story, all right? No, I'm just kidding with you. Some of you are like, what's the chicken story? I'm not telling you the chicken story, all right? You missed it last week. You'll have to go watch the podcast or the live stream, one of those, if you want to hear the chicken story. But we had some fun with that this past week. Well, I told you this morning, we introduced our theme for the year, and that is making a difference. And it is our desire this year as a church to strive together to make a difference for the cause of Christ. And I believe that the message from the letter that Jude wrote to the churches gives us a great understanding of what it looks like to make a difference. It starts with God making a difference in us personally. I mean, having our lives transformed by our faith in Christ and our growth in the Spirit of God and in the Word of God. And as we grow, God enables us to make a difference in the lives of others. And it all comes from God's power working in us and God's power working through us. And I enjoyed taking time in the book of Jude this morning to talk about that theme. We got a theme verse for the year. It's not a hard one to memorize. Why don't we all say it together, all right? And of some, have compassion, making a difference. Jude 22. And very easy to remember. But I hope that it's something that we can really focus on and allow the Lord to do a work in our hearts with throughout this year. Now, I'm going to start off with a statement here. And this is an important statement. I'm going to put a lot of these statements on the screen for you. I didn't give you a piece of paper to take notes on tonight. So you have to do that for yourselves, I suppose, okay? But I just want you to listen to me for a few moments as I begin to share some of this. Now, before I even make this statement, let me say this. A lot of times people say, well, we're going to hear pastor's vision for the church. And I guess there's a little bit of truth to that. But the reality is, if it is my vision, it's not going to be that great. God has a vision for his church. Right? I'm not pretending to be God up here. God has a plan for his church, and we need to follow God's plan. And our greatest task as the church is not to come up with our own great devices and our cunning programs to try to build a group of people gathering in a room. If that's what we're trying to do, then we've ceased to be a church. Our mission is to do what the Lord Jesus has called us to do as the church. So we talk about the vision. The vision is God's. And I want to share some truth with you tonight that I hope will direct our hearts and recalibrate us to God's vision for us as His church. So here's the first statement I'll make tonight. The local church is designed to be a force of change in our communities. It is designed by God to be a force of change in our communities from the very beginning of the church. And we're in Acts chapter 17 right now. From the very beginning of the church, we find that the local church was a force of change in the known world of their time. And if you look with me in Acts chapter 17 and look at verse number 6. In verse number 6 of Acts 17, it says, "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." The testimony of the New Testament church, there in those early days especially, was they were a group of people who had literally turned the world upside down. Now that statement wasn't made by the supporters of the church. That statement was made by the enemies of the church. And what we see as we read the book of Acts is a group of believers in Christ who were changing communities, changing cities, and shaking a nation of people during the time that they were in existence there in those early days. What started as a band of about 120 believers in Acts chapter 1 that soon blossomed and built into thousands and thousands of believers who at the beginning were all gathered together in Jerusalem, but then God brought persecution in and they began to get scattered all throughout the Roman Empire. And God began to see through these believers local churches being established in every place where they were chased off to. And it was incredible to see as you go through the book of Acts, the explosive growth of the local church and everywhere true believers went, things were happening, lives were being transformed, and cities were being shaken by the believers in Christ who were simply doing what Christ had called them to do. And I'll go so far as to say this. Wherever believers have gone, wherever they have gone and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ and taught the principles of the Word of God, they have completely transformed the place that they live in for the good. And it's not because believers have that power, it's because of the one that they represent. It's because the Word they preach and the gospel that they preach. And wherever believers have gone, they've had this incredible influence. I was thinking not too long ago about a missionary by the name of John Getty. And he was a pastor and missionary. He was Scottish, but he grew up in Canada, of all places. And the Lord called him to be a missionary. And he's known today as the father of the missions in the South Seas. And for nearly 25 years, John Getty was a missionary in what is now modern-day Vanuatu. And I don't remember what it was called during those days off the top of my head here. But for nearly 25 years, he ministered to these people alongside his wife, Charlotte. And as history records for us, John Getty went there, and there was no existence of Christianity there before he entered onto those shores. And after he went, he began to get to know the people, and he translated the whole Bible into their native language in his 25 years that he was there. And he established a church that established churches all over that region of the world. And by the time John Getty passed away, the people of that island, they took a plaque and they mounted it on the pulpit that he would preach from his main church. And here's what it said. It says, "When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. And when he left in 1872, there were no heathen." And I read that testimony and it stirs my heart to think about the explosive power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would to God that happened in Cortez, Colorado. I'm telling you, it still can. We still serve the same God today. And so why is it that the church has been such a force for change in the world? Well, we talked about it a little bit this morning, but it's because of the gospel that we preach, and it's because of the truth of God's word that we teach as believers. It has transformative power unlike anything else that this world has ever known or will ever know. We who have become believers in Christ, we understand the explosive power of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:21, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. We are born again. We believe in the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ, completely remade. That's the transformation that happens. And that's why the local church has the ability to be such a force for change in this world that desperately needs it. And yet, as you look around our society today, the truth is not every church is making a difference for Christ. Would you agree with me about that? In fact, I would say the vast majority of churches are doing nothing for the cause of Christ. All over America and really all over this world, there are many churches that remain nearly empty on a week-to-week basis. Maybe one or two people come out. Maybe 12 people gather together. And you say, well, Pastor, are you opposed to small churches? No, I'm not opposed to small churches. And a small church is not always an indication of a church that isn't doing the right thing or a church that isn't striving after gospel ministry. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I am saying that the vast majority of churches do not look like the kind of church we see pictured for us in the book of Acts. You say, well, Pastor, that church was in a unique time. Listen, it was so unique for churches of that time that they were under persecution and they were still growing explosively. How would you like that cell? Yeah, be a Christian. They may chop your head off. Be fantastic, okay? No, because it was real and because God was doing it. That's why the change was happening for the New Testament church. And we have such apathy that's taking place in our churches today. There are a lot of other churches that they may have decent gatherings on a week-to-week basis, but there is no tangible difference that is actually being made in the lives of the people who gather there or in the community in which that church exists. And we don't see the type of difference-making ability happening through most churches today. Why is that? How could it be that an institution claims to be a church of Christ and yet has no ability to make a spiritual impact on the community around them? And here's what I'll say to that. A church that has lost track of its purpose and mission can make no tangible difference for the cause of Christ. In other words, the reason why churches lose their ability to impact their community for Christ is because they get off track. They lose sight of what it means to be a church. And I'm going to tell you, when you get away from the gospel of Christ, and when you get away from the Word of God, it will be very quick that you lose your influence. Very quick. And the same thing that has happened for many churches can happen to our church as well. I guess the point I'm trying to make is great churches don't just happen. They don't just happen by accident. Great churches, or we could put it this way, a church that makes a difference is a church that is intentionally committed to the fundamentals. A church that makes a difference is a church that is intentionally committed to the fundamentals. Now, my daughter has recently started playing on a basketball team. So we've been going and shooting and doing a lot of things together here lately. And every time that I've been involved with something like this, it always reminds me of the importance of the fundamentals, right? And if you ever played a sport before, it doesn't matter what sport it is. There's fundamentals in every one of them. And if you're going to be a good athlete, if you're going to be a good basketball player, you've got to master some very basic skills. Things like shooting, dribbling, boxing out, rebounding, defense, and we could go on down the line and talk about what some of those fundamentals may be. And oftentimes when I start working with a young person about any type of sport, they always want to try to do what they see the pro athletes doing. They want to try to bounce it between their legs, behind their backs, and do all these kinds of fun things. And I'm always just like, won't you just stop, all right? You're going to hurt yourself, okay? That's not what you need to worry about right now. Let's just worry about the basics, right? Going back to the fundamentals will make a young person become a good athlete. And sometimes when I come back to this point for our church, it always makes me want to go back to the fundamentals as well. I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to reinvent the wheel. The Lord Jesus, from the very beginning, instituted some basic principles that would result in a healthy church if Christians would practice them. And it is as we are willing to simply by faith obey what the Word of God has to tell us about these basic principles that God can use us to make a difference in our community for the cause of Christ. And I'll say this as a church, as we begin this year, you want to know what God's vision is for us as a church? It's recommitting ourselves to the fundamentals. It's recommitting ourselves to the basic things that God has always told us that we should be busy about, but doing it with more intention and doing it with more fervency. What do those kinds of things include? Well, we looked at this in a lot more depth last week, but I still want to reiterate it here for sake of clarity. Go to Acts chapter 2 with me. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Right there at the beginning, as we looked at last week, the New Testament church, when it first got started, they gave us a precedent. They showed us what is fundamental to a New Testament local church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41, if you're there, say amen. The Bible says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." And so we see at the beginning of this church some of these fundamental principles that make for a strong church, that will result in a church that truly makes a difference for the cause of Christ. I know we looked at these last week, but I think it's important to reemphasize these things. What do these fundamentals include? Well, first of all, it includes people being saved. It includes believers being baptized. It includes members being added to the church. It includes faithful gatherings of the church. The church faithfully getting together to hear teaching and preaching, to pray together, to fellowship together, and to worship the Lord together. It involves faithful gatherings for the church. It also involves the church giving, it involves the church serving, and it involves the church witnessing. Now, I know we looked at many of these principles last week, but it bears repeating again, because listen, we could get up here and we're going to try to reinvent the wheel, and this is what we're going to try to do. We're going to have this app, and we're going to have this web page, and we're going to start this program, and they come up with all kinds of fun bells and whistles, so to speak. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter how fancy you get. When it comes down to the bottom line, the reason any church makes a difference is because they are committed to obey these same simple practices that God has given us from the beginning. And I preached this sermon last week in preparation for this week. And I intended to do it in one service. We stretched it out to two. How about that? Okay. We had a good time with it last week, because this is elementary to being a church that can make a big impact for the cause of Christ. In a church that is healthy, in a church that is making a difference for the cause of Christ, it ought to be normal for people to be saved. It ought to be normal for people to be stirring those baptism waters. Listen, we're 2 out of 2 Sundays so far on this year. I'd love to see 52 of them, okay? So if somebody wants to sign up for next week, bring it on, okay? I love to see, there was one week, me and Brother Reese were so pumped about this. What was it? It was like 15, 17 weeks, 16 weeks in a row we had baptisms. And it wasn't scripted, it wasn't planned, but that was year before last, I think. And I love it when that happens. It doesn't always happen this way. But my point is, with a church of our size, with how faithful our people are to give out of what God has blessed you with. It is incredible. This is the first year that our church has gone over $1 million given in one single year. What a blessing. And this year I'm going to get into a lot of this at our business meeting later, so I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let me just commend our church for that. But can I say this as well? We need to keep growing. Now, personally, if you're being faithful in giving, praise God for that. But there are many others who need to be taught the simple truths of God's word, and many others who need to learn how to be faithful in that particular area. Because those of you that do give faithfully, you've learned like I've learned how much more God blesses you when you're faithful with his resources. And you can testify to that as well. Giving, serving the Lord. I remember a time when it seemed very difficult just to get people to serve. And we've been blessed with a lot of people who faithfully serve in so many different areas in our church. But can I say, as our church has grown, the needs have grown as well. And there is always a need for more people to get involved in serving. And of course, witnessing. I think that perhaps the greatest burden of my heart as a pastor for our church is in the area of witnessing. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why we have tended to struggle with having the willingness to get out and share our faith. And I'm not just talking about in a door-to-door capacity, but I am talking about that too. That's one of the areas I believe that we really need to grow in. You say, well, Pastor, we're already growing as a church. I know. It hasn't changed. It's the same thing that God has called us to. We just want to do it with a little bit more fervency. And a little bit, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And friend, the nearer Jesus Christ gets, the more I want to exhort you to get involved in God's process for seeing lives change for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so our theme this year is to make a difference, and we don't want to lose sight of our mission as a church. Now let me share some interesting information with you about our church in this past year. Over the past year, God has continued to grow our church in a lot of significant ways. For the first time in at least our church's recent history, our church is 40, it will be 40 years old this year. All right. And there's a lot of records from the past that I don't have. But for the first time, I believe in our church's history, our church is averaging over 300 people every single Sunday morning. And that's the average. And I'm thankful for the growth that God has brought us throughout this year. Our church recorded nearly 500 guests this past year. And now I'll say this, recorded guests are a lot less than the ones that actually come. We don't have nearly every guest fill out a card. And so I know we had way more than that 500 that came. But boy, I am so grateful that we had so many people come through these doors for the first time this past year. And you know it like I do. You come in here on a Sunday morning, and sometimes it's like you're having to get to know new people every single week. And it's a blessing to see that happening. And I would say that the front door of our church is very healthy and very welcoming. And I have many of you to commend for that, for your heart. The man who got baptized this morning, Glenn Griffith. He's a 76-year-old man. What a great guy. You guys need to get to know him. Great guy. He lives out in McElmo Canyon. But Glenn said he started coming to our church. He had been trying other churches for quite some time. He's been here for 8 years. And he said he'd drive by our church almost every Sunday. And he said, I've been watching for 8 years. And every time I drive by, he's like, wow, there's even more cars there. How is that possible, right? And honestly, that kept him away for a long time. But finally, he said he wanted to come. And he said, when he walked in these doors, he said, that is the friendliest place I've ever been in my life. All right, now, here's a clarifier. He is from New York City, okay, originally. And then he lived in Chicago for a while, too. So I don't know what the standard is there for us. I don't know what that's saying exactly, okay? But no, he said, I walked in, and he said, I couldn't believe it. Everybody liked me. Everybody was happy I was there. Some people even remembered my name, and he had all kinds of good things to say. And that just goes to say, hey, I believe the front door of our church is very healthy, and I'm thankful for that. We want to keep it that way. We want to continue to be a welcoming church to anybody who walks through those doors. And I'm thankful for the growth we've seen in that area. There's a caveat here. While we are growing in our main service of the week, we've actually begun to decline in our smaller gatherings. And that was a little bit discouraging to hear this year, but it tells us where we're at and where we need to go. Let me give you some information here. In 2024, our Sunday night average attendance went from 116 in 2023 down to 91. And so we saw a little bit of a decline there. Our small group involvement went from an average of 113 every week to an average of 79 every week. And so I began to look at some of these things and realize that as healthy as the front door of our church may be, the back door of our church is not nearly as healthy. And what does that tell us? Well, it tells us we have people who attend our church on a once-a-week basis, but they are not committed to being a part of the life of our church. Here's why that's significant. Anybody can grow to some degree from coming on a Sunday morning and worshiping together and hearing a sermon. But God has not called the church to stop there. God has called us to gather together so much the more as we see the days approaching. He intends for the church to be a family where we challenge one another to grow. And I am not standing up here saying that the way we do it is perfect, because I know it is not. I'm not even saying that the way we do it is your favorite way. Maybe you've been in a church and you say, well, I like the way they did it. Well, that's fine. This is how we do it here. We're trying to do what the Lord's called us to do. All right? But we have these gatherings, not just because that's what we're supposed to do. We have these gatherings as the church because we want to come together to keep growing in our faith in the Lord. Sunday morning has its own important purpose and emphasis. Sunday night has its own important purpose and emphasis. And the small group gatherings are such a vitally important part of our fellowship as a body of believers. Now, I did not understand this fully until we actually started our own small group in our home. And for a long time, I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Did Sunday school too. It was giving a lot. Right? When we started our small group in our home, it completely changed my perspective on how vital these things are. And I was still doing a lot of the teaching. Don't get me wrong. But I needed the fellowship, and I didn't even realize I did. I needed to be around other believers in a capacity that was relaxed, in a capacity where we could just sit down around a table and open a Bible and study God's Word together. And I'm telling you, church, I want to challenge everybody in this room. I want to challenge everybody in this body, even those who may be listening online or those who may listen to this later. We need to recommit to God's purpose for us as a church. And part of that involves faithfulness to the gatherings of the church. As imperfect as they may be, they are still vital to our spiritual development. And listen, not just to yours. You need to be here some weeks so you can help somebody else. You need to be here so they can see you here. They can build a relationship with you so that when they're down, they can say, will you pray with me? Listen, it's very basic. God has orchestrated things. He's organized things for us and told us how these things are supposed to work. And so with that minute, but I hope to start even more small. It has really burdened my heart about establishing what we're going to call a next step group starting this year. Three times this year, we're going to have a four-week, what some of you may have known in previous years as a new members class, okay? Now, we've always used the next step as our name for this same thing. But instead of just having a small fellowship, we're going to start having a next step a group or class. It's a new members class. It's going to be a four-week class. We plan to do it in the spring, the summer, and the fall. And during this four-week class, all the newcomers in our church, it's going to be during what would be the traditional Sunday school hour, around 9:30. We'll gather into a room and we'll talk about our constitution and bylaws, our doctrine as a church. We'll talk about where we've come from as a church. We'll talk about our purpose and our mission. We'll talk about what ministry looks like in our church and what it means to be a member of the church and how you can get involved in the church and all of these things for people who are new and who are coming in. Now, if we're being honest, some of you who are new, you probably would have appreciated a little bit more of that to understand how things work around here. It can be a little bit of a mess to understand how things work if you're a newcomer especially. And so, that's one thing we're going to establish. And during that time, we're going to teach some of the basic things. Hey, we have Sunday morning services. We have Sunday night services. We have a small group, and it's vital to the life and operation of our church. And we're going to challenge people who are coming in the door right from the get-go to commit as they join the church to be involved in those vital aspects of our church. A second thing that we're going to strive to do this year is to continue to strive to improve the quality of our small group ministry. And this for me involves two things. It involves making our groups better, okay? making our groups, equipping our leaders to be able to lead their groups even better than what we have been doing. And it also involves starting new groups. And already we began the process of working with some people who are going to be some new small group leaders. But this is such an important part of our church. And it's hard for me to get everyone to understand this. And I know I may not be successful at getting everyone on board. But small groups are the church organized to fulfill the Great Commission, if you'd allow me to put it that way. And we could all come in this room, we could all hear preaching, and we could respond in a certain way. But when you sit face to face across the table from somebody on a week-to-week basis, you can challenge each other in your faith in a way that you cannot be challenged in this room. And it's so important for the future of our church that we have small communities within this bigger community that are weekly loving on each other and praying for each other and checking in on each other and challenging each other to be obedient to the Lord in their faith. And so I cannot challenge you enough to be a part of one of those small group ministries. Says the church, we'll put these up on the screen so that we can see this together. Let's say this out loud together. Our purpose at Lighthouse is to glorify God, edify the brethren, and testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We use three words to encapsulate our purpose. That is glorify, edify, testify. Number one, we seek to glorify God in everything we do. And in everything we do, we want to build up the body of Christ. We want to edify the brethren. And then in everything we do, we also want to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want whatever happens around here, if we're not trying to tell people about Jesus through it, we're not doing it right. Okay? That is our purpose. That is why God has left us here as a church. And so as we seek to fulfill that purpose, we have a mission that God has given us to fulfill that purpose. And I want you to see the mission. Let's talk about the mission now. Let's say it together. Our mission is to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Jesus. How do we glorify God? How do we edify the brethren? How do we testify of the gospel of Christ? By making, maturing, and multiplying disciples of Christ. Our job is to get out into this world and see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, teach them the Bible so that they can mature in their faith, and they can turn around and tell other people about Jesus. That's multiplication. Now that is simple gospel ministry 101 straight from the Bible. And that is our ministry, or our mission as the church. Making disciples is what it is all about. And we cannot lose sight of that. And so at our church, we have developed a ministry path to help take people who are brand new, walk through the door for the first time, or you meet them out in the community, a path they can take from wherever they are to becoming a dedicated disciple of Jesus Christ that is leading other people to Christ. And we call it our ministry path. Let's look at this really quickly together. Our ministry path, by the way, this is in your book. I'm not very good about connecting that, but a lot of the things we've been talking about are in your book. This is on page 5 of your book. Our ministry path, it starts with the first step, which is connection. That is, we want to connect people to God through our local church. That can happen out in your job. That can happen, you invite somebody in and you meet them here at church. We want to connect people to God through our church. Understand the clarification. We're not just trying to connect people to our church. We're trying to connect people to God through our church. That's our job. Step number 2, after connection comes community. Community. We want to involve people in a community of faith where they can grow. The second step here, that's why we emphasize our small groups so much, because we want people to find community, especially in small town America. People are longing for community. They're longing for a place to belong. And they're finding it somewhere. They're finding it in their kids' sports program. They're finding it in their local gym. They're finding it in their basket weaving class, okay? They're finding it somewhere, all right? What we are supposed to do is give people a place to find community in the local church. And it's a work in progress. Step 1 is connection, then there's community. Step 3 is commitment. After they come and we connect them to God and we connect them with a group of believers, then we are going to lead them to commit. We are inviting people to commit by taking their next growth step. They haven't been saved. Their commitment may be to trust Christ as their Savior. It may be to follow the Lord in baptism. It may be to join the church and so on and so forth. But we are trying to take people who are brand new to our church to find a community and then to take the next step of commitment in their faith in the Lord. And then the fourth step that we're trying to lead people to take is to care. The fourth step is care. That is, where we want to involve people in a ministry where they can serve God and others. I told you this morning, we were not saved to sit on our blessed assurance. We were saved to serve. And that is true. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And I'll say this to every person here. I don't know what step you're on in this process, but every person should be involved in caring, in a ministry of some capacity where you're caring for people in this body and people in this community. We talked about that this morning. And then the fifth step in our ministry path is our commission. Our commission. That is, we want to train and send people to share their faith with others. And I want to challenge you with this year. Because I know there's a lot of you in this room, you don't know how to share your faith. And I'm not condemning you for that. And I don't want you to think that I am. But I believe every single member ought to be a minister of the gospel. You say, well, Pastor, I can call you to come witness to my lost friend. And you're right, you can. You know what'd be better? If you could witness to your lost friend. Not because I don't want to, because it's better if you do. God can use you as a believer just as much as he can use any other believer. The truth is, we need to equip you. It's part of the job of the church to equip the brethren to fulfill the work of the ministry. And so this year, at least two times, we may do it three times, we are going to have some classes to teach you how to share your faith. And if you've never done that, or maybe you did it years ago, and you say, Pastor, I need to brush off the dust of my soul-winning Bible, and I need to learn again how to share my faith with someone. I hope that you'll just mark it down in your mind right now. I'm going to get involved with that because it's about time I learn how to share my faith with other people, and not just be able to speak your own testimony, but be able to take the Bible, go to passages of Scripture, and systematically walk people through what the Bible has to say about how they can know Jesus as their Savior. Every Christian ought to know that. And we're going to take time to train those who haven't been trained to be able to learn how to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior this year. Now, as we together seek to fulfill this mission, fulfill our purpose, and utilize this mission in fulfilling this purpose, I just want to encourage you, each one of you individually, in whatever capacity you are involved in our church, to let these things that we're looking at from the Scripture motivate you. In your family, right now, husband and wife, you've got kids at home, you're single, whatever the case may be, it starts at home for you. You must personally commit to be a part of what God is doing here in our church. And then whatever ministry you're involved in, it's important that we understand the collective vision that God has given for us as a church. Listen, if you're involved in kids ministry, for example, all right, your mission there is really not just to minister to those kids, but it is to minister to their parents too. And as you seek to get to know parents, you can see new people who've started coming to our church, or people maybe who've been coming for years but have never grown. You can see them take their next step. You can see them go from just a Sunday morning commitment, a Sunday morning attendance, to maybe finding a community by inviting them to your small group. You have someone who's in your small group, but you're not sure that they're saved, or they've never been baptized, or they're not members of the church. You can start talking to them and say, hey, what do you think about joining the church? Hey, what do you think about joining the hospitality ministry with me? I need somebody to be in that ministry with me. And you could bring someone along with you to be a part of what God is doing here. You understand what I mean? Listen, it can't be one person who's striving about this mission. It's got to be a whole church that has embraced this mission that God has given to us to see people saved and see people growing in their faith to a place where they're able to share their faith with other people. Make, mature, and multiply disciples of Christ. That's what God's called us to do, and every one of us needs to be a part of that process. Every single one of us. And so I'm challenging us as we begin this year to all be involved in this process. So how can we make a difference this year? By doing what Jesus has given us to do. Say, Pastor, that's not super profound. You're probably right, but it's true. The Lord has given us some very simple things to be involved with. We just need to do it. With compassion, we can make a difference. And if we would be willing to get busy about this mission that the Lord has given to us, we can continue to make a difference this year. Now, some of you may have been more involved than you are today. And part of fulfilling this mission may mean that you make the decision to recommit and to get back involved in some of the things that you have began to slack off on. Some of you have maybe have never been in any of the things that we're talking about. It'd be a great thing for you to commit to getting involved in a small group or getting involved in a soul-winning class so you can learn how to lead someone to Christ, or get involved in a new members class so you can learn what it means to be a member here and dive into what God's doing here. I don't know what the step is for you, but I'm challenging you to embrace this vision that God has given for us as His church. Now, as we think about these things, I want to breeze through some of our goals, because all of these goals, they come from what I was just talking to you about from the scripture. I'm not going to take time to line all these out. By the way, sometimes I give these kinds of things and people are like, well, Pastor, you can't say that. You don't know how many people are going to be saved. Listen, we had a goal, I think, of seeing 120 people saved last year, and we saw 99 people saved. I'm not saying we missed out, okay? I'm thankful for every soul we see saved. But he who aims for nothing hits it every time. And I want to aim for something, all right? And I want us to be after something as a church. As we talk about our growth goals, this is on page 6 in your booklet here. Our growth goals. We want to see 150 people saved this year. 75 believers baptized. This is burdened. We saw under 30 people baptized last year. It was significantly less than the year before. And sometimes there's ebb and flow in these things. I understand that. But it is a burden of my heart to be faithful, to diligently encourage people to obey the Lord in getting baptized. And you can be a part of that, by the way. Some of you, when your kids are ready, your friends get saved, you can encourage them to be obedient to the Lord and following Him in baptism. Don't say, well, a pastor will talk to him about it. I may eventually, but it'd be better if God's placed someone in your life that you can encourage scripturally to obey the Lord. It'd be even better if we would embrace this mission as a church. You guys understand what I mean? I'm giving these goals not so you can say, okay, that's what those guys are going to be focusing on. No, we're the church. These are our goals. This is what we're striving for as the church, okay? So 75 believers baptized, 75 new members added to our church family this coming year. We want to see 50 new members involved in ministry. And that is an area I haven't figured out totally. We've done different things. We've had ministry fairs. The past couple weeks, we've been passing out these ministry cards to let people indicate to us where they want to get involved in ministry at. But I always go back to this very simple thing. The most effective way to get people involved in ministry is a personal invitation. It's just like with church, all right? It's like 95% of people come to church because they were personally invited by somebody, right? And I found the same to generally be true in ministry. Some of you that in your ministry, you're like, I wish we had more help. Here's an idea for you. When you meet somebody and God puts it on your heart, say, hey, do you want to be involved in the nursery ministry? And I'm telling you, doing that can make a big difference in actually getting people to commit to being involved in ministry. I can't take too long on this. We want to average 325 people on Sunday mornings, average 150 people on Sunday nights. Now, that's a big jump up. I would have jumped it up more on Sunday mornings as well, except for I don't know if we could fit them, okay? We get in the new building, we'll bump that up even more, okay? But average 150 people on Sunday nights, that means some of you are going to have to commit to be here for our gatherings on those nights. Fellowship goals, let's look at those. We want to start at least 3 new small groups this year. If we're looking to average 200 in small groups every week, we'll need at least 3 more to facilitate that many people being involved in small group ministry. And we really want to see the Lord grow us in that particular area. Now, that is a huge jump from what we averaged last year. By faith, I'm asking the Lord to lead our church family to be obedient in committing to being a part of our small group emphasis as a church. We're going to host 2 fellowship nights to encourage our church family to get to know one another. I'll tell you, the corporate fellowships have become more challenging because of the size of our building. All right, I had 2 ladies come to me, and it was the maddest anyone's been at me this last year. Okay? Because we didn't have a potluck after the Veterans Sunday service. I am so sorry to all of you, all right? You weren't one of them, but you were clapping, so now I know, okay? That's three now. It's becoming a lot harder to have these fellowships. But we do have 2 plans. This just kind of happened spontaneously last year, but I loved it so much, I made it a goal this year. We're going to host family summer nights during the summer months this year, where we gather after the church service for fun activities. And the summer days are longer. How many of you are looking forward to summer already? All right. And we moved up our services to 5:00 so we could get out of here before 7:00. At some point, a little bit earlier than what it was anyways. And during the summer, it was a lot of fun. We went and played softball. We went and played pickleball. We had different activities. We're going to do it intentionally this year, and I'm going to invite the whole family to be a part of it. And it's just going to be time for community for us as a church. And I'm really looking forward already to those days. Let's look at the outreach goals. Outreach goals. We want to see 30 new people trained to share the gospel. That is a lofty goal, and that is going to take many of you being willing to commit to get trained or get retrained to be able to share your faith. That's a goal for those new those soul-winning classes this year, to see 30 new people trained. 10,000 homes visited to share the gospel this year. You say, Pastor, are there even 10,000 homes in Mount Montezuma County? Well, there are, believe it or not, okay? And we're going to have to branch out of the doors just in Cortez proper. But there are plenty of homes to be able to reach, and some of those we may go to a few times, but that is the goal this year. We want to launch a community outreach campaign. Now, I won't take a lot of time to expound this, but this year we want to be intentional through our small groups is how we're going to try to funnel this. But we're going to challenge every single small group during this campaign to find intentional ways to show compassion in our community. And we'll announce more about the campaign when we get closer to it. But it's my hope that some of our small groups will take it upon themselves to maybe deliver a meal to our police officers in Cortez. Perhaps go to our doctors and nurses at our local hospital and bring them some coffee or do something kind for them. The goal is to get out of these 4 walls and to show compassion to people out in our community. We want to find creative and intentional ways to be able to do it. And I'm not going to come up with all the ideas. We're going to come up with the ideas. And through our small group ministry, we want to have these campaigns to be intentional with showing the love of Christ in our community in physically tangible ways. And so that is another thing we're going to be doing this year. Look at the leadership goals with me. We want to equip 12 new leaders for our church and have some plans for how we're going to seek to accomplish that this year. And I'll talk to some of our men, at least from the men's side of that, at our men's leadership night next Sunday night. But we're going to equip 12 new leaders for our church. And then we're going to appoint a church treasurer. This is pending on the vote on our constitution and bylaw, which I, especially for the sake of leadership, I've sensed the need to have a church treasurer put in place for our church ministry, and it just will help with the running of the finances effectively. And this is something that I want you all to consider. And then we're going to appoint a church clerk as well to keep track of our business affairs and to make sure that all of our files are filed accurately and those types of things. And then we want to launch some new leadership teams. Now, this last year, we launched a new build team, and we launched a stewardship team and some other things. We just couldn't get to all of these teams in one year. But this year, I have the goal to start a counseling team and to start an advisory board for our Christian school and to start a pastoral council as well. And all of these have different purposes, and all of them are important for different things. Some of you will be asked, and some of you already have been asked to be a part of some of these teams that we're going to be starting. What are we doing? We're doing what the Bible told us to do in Delegate. When he had too much on himself, his father-in-law came and said, "You take too much on yourself." And he said, "You need to appoint some other men to help carry out the work." And that's what we're striving to do with this. As our church grows, the need grows for more leaders and more people to be involved with moving things forward. And so we have some leadership goals. Financially, what are our goals? Our financial goal right now, first and foremost, is to get out of debt. We have $180,000 on our line of credit for phase number one. By the way, that was nearly $300,000 at one point last year. And the faithful giving of our church has helped to bring that down, but we still got a little bit more work to do. We want to increase the number of our members who tithe. We already have a lot of people who are faithful, but the more people who become faithful in giving to the work of the Lord will enable us to continue to grow as a church. We want to give $250,000 above the tithe to the new building project. We're looking at least a $2 to a $2.5 million project. And this year, I want you to begin praying about what God would have you to do to be a part of this. But what that amounts to is about $20,000 a month. Now, that seems like a lot. And I understand that. If you watch, we try to keep our finances recorded in our prayer bulletin just on the week to week, what has come in. Our weekly offerings, I don't remember the average off the top of my head, but I do remember the past two Sundays. I believe last Sunday it was $26,000 that the Lord brought in, and I believe this Sunday it was about $22,000 the Lord brought in. Now, that's not always typical, all right? But a lot of people have been giving more to the building program, which has been an incredible blessing, all right? But if you look at our annual budget, which we'll put in front of the church, Lord willing, next week we'll get it in front of you. It's taken some time to put the proposed budget together. $250,000 is about 25% of what our annual budget is. Okay, so we are designated 25% of everything that comes in to this building program, and we want that to become the standard. Now, to encourage some of you, we've already been trying to put aside $10,000 to $15,000 every month. We've done that for several years. This year, we are going to step up that effort, because if we are going to take on this the completion of this building, we're going to need to be able to sustain a certain amount every month in a loan payment. And so that is why this is a big part of our goal this year. And so you pray with us about that. We want to increase our missions giving and continue to support our missionaries. We want to save 3 months' reserves. Right now, our reserves are not at 3 months. Our reserves are closer to about $75,000 in reserve. I'm sorry, $85,000 in reserves. And so it's just healthy practice to be able to have those monies set aside for when things happen that you do not expect. So those are some of our financial goals this year. Now, here's the last bit of the goals. And I hope that you're staying engaged with these things. I know some of these things may not be as important to some of you, but they are important for the sake of our church continuing to move forward. So let's talk about the build, our new building. All right, we're going to have a lot more conversations about this in the future. And let me give you a synopsis of what we're looking at for this year. We want to complete the planning for phase two. This has been quite the process to go through this, but we're closer now than we've ever been. We want to be ready to go when the finances are secured and the church makes the decision on whether or not we're going to go forward with this. We want to be ready to go so that our builder, Jay Cruzan, can just roll things forward, all right? Then we're working right now to secure a loan to complete the project. Phase one, we chose to strive to do in cash, and we were very close to that. Listen, $1.3 million in that building right now. We're $180,000 in debt. To the glory of God. All right? You put it in perspective. It's incredible. All right? What God has done here is incredible for our size of church. And I don't want us to get discouraged with this. In this whole process, this church has already given over $1 million. And that's in under 5 years. And so we're looking at a $2.5 million loan, yes. But our church has grown even more during that time. And I believe that God can enable us to get this done. How many of you believe God can enable us to get this done? We need to continue to pray and be faithful with what God tells each one of us to do. And so these are some of our goals. Secure a loan to complete the project. And then make a decision of faith to finish. This is what I'm asking you to join together with me in. Because when we get this loan secured, later on this year, we're going to give all the details for it. And the church has to vote as to whether or not we move forward with this project. And I know everything the Bible has to teach about the subject of debt. And we'll talk more about this as we get closer to it. We want to be wise with this particular thing. But I need you to be praying with me about this because I believe that God wants us to finish this building and for it not to continue to sit over there as it is right now. And so this year, we're going to host two major build offerings. One of them will be in April and one of them will be in September. We're going to host at least two major build offerings that I'm asking you to pray and prepare for so that we can come together as a church to make a significant dent and in what the Lord is calling us to do with getting this building program completed. And we want to raise through those $250,000 toward the building. Now, these offerings will include commitments and one-time contributions. In other words, many of you will just bring a big contribution or whatever kind of contribution you can bring on those build offerings. And then we're also going to make it available for people to make a commitment on what they are going to give in those build offerings as well. And so those are two things for you to be praying about there. The last thing here is we want to, now, all right, now we're going to hold them to it, aren't we, Dale? No. Jay Cruzan has been incredible. He has been an awesome person to work with. And I'm very thankful for him and for Dale's work with this building program. But we want to move into the new building towards the late fall and winter of this year. If God enables us to get this loan, and the church votes to move forward with it, that is entirely feasible. Will it all be done? I don't know. Will it be occupiable? Maybe so. And so it's a goal. It's something that we can pray for. It's something that we can look forward to. It's something that you can tell that friend that keeps asking you, when is that building going to be done? All right? Something you can finally tell them, okay? We'll see what the Lord does with this thing right here. We got a lot of things to figure out with it, and we need to pray real hard and continue to be faithful with what the Lord has given us to do. Now, I'm already over time. This type of service always takes a little bit longer because we're talking about months and months of praying and planning and preparing all going into one evening. And so forgive me for that. But I am excited about what the Lord has in store for us this year. All of you got a calendar, and you'll notice several things that aren't on here, that are normally on here. I'll tell you one of the reasons why is the Lord has called us to build this building. And while I don't want to at all hesitate on the mission God has given us on seeing people saved and so on and so forth, there are some things that we might do on some other years, like a missions trip, for example, that we're not going to encourage this year while we're trying to get this building done, okay? We can get too many irons in the fire and not be able to get everything done. And so there are some things that might normally be on here that aren't on here for right now. And normally I would take the time to walk through all these things, but I'm not going to do that tonight. Let me just hit some highlights for you here. How many of you guys got these? Raise them up if you got them, okay? Very good. Most of you have got one of those here. Some of you might have them at home. A couple of things. In January, don't miss the annual business meeting. If you're a member especially, pray about your constitution and bylaw. If you have questions about it, you can reach out. I'm happy to answer any questions, especially if you have concerns. I will say this, the next two Mondays, we're going to plan to have a Q&A for anybody who would like to come and ask questions and make suggestions on the Constitution and bylaw. And I'm going to be doing those. I said the next two Mondays, didn't I? I'm going to be doing those at I believe it's 6 o'clock on those Monday evenings to give time for people who are in the workforce to be able to get there. And so if you want to come out and you've got questions on the Constitution and bylaw or any of the things that we're going to be voting on, I'm asking you to come out then. Here's what's not going to happen. We're not going to have a Q&A at the business meeting, okay? By that point, I want to take enough time for all of you to ask the questions, express the concerns that you have, and we may make some changes based on those conversations that we have. I totally realize that, but I want to be able to come into that business meeting and just vote yes or no on officers, on the Constitution, bylaw, on our missionaries, and so on and so forth. And so I'll make those times available. And if you live far out and you have questions and you can't make those Q&As, just call me, just email me, and I will get back to you, I promise you. Because I want us to be able to be unified in our decisions on that day. You'll notice several Lord's Suppers are planned throughout the year. Take notes of those so you can prepare for those. We may do some that aren't on this list as well, but those are the planned Lord's Supper services for the year. Ladies, there's a ladies' retreat in March. That's the ladies' retreat in Moab. That's something you can put on your calendar and make sure that you can go to and be a part of. We had a great group of ladies go last year, and I hope to have another good group go this year. For our teens, our 3-on-3 tournament's coming up in March as well. That was really fun last year. Our teens are going to go to a youth conference in California this year as well, in early April. And this is new as well. Our hunt this year, which is our big spring outreach event, we're still doing it, but we're doing it a week early. Instead of doing it the Saturday before Easter, we're doing it a week before that. Not quite 2 weeks before Easter, but you'll see that on here to give more of a gap between Easter Sunday. I think this last year when we did the hunt, I think there was like 12 other hunts going on at the same time, right? So we just decided to do that this year. At the 27th, we'll have our 40th anniversary service, which I'm really looking forward to celebrating 40 years at Lighthouse, even though I haven't even been living 40 years, okay? There you go. And then we'll have our build offering as well. So you mark that and be praying about what the Lord would have you to do. In May, lots of good things going on there. I'm not going to hit everything. Men, I'm going to tell you this right now. We brought about a dozen of our guys to the men's retreat up in Marble, Colorado last year, and we had a blast, all right? And I want to invite all of you to come with us this next year. Teen guys can go too, and the men's retreat is a ton of fun. And it was great fellowship for our guys. I told the guy up there who runs the camp, I said, we're going to reserve every cabin you have, okay? And I was a little bit facetious, but that'd be cool, all right? We could have it all to ourselves. That'd be even better, all right? But the men's retreat is at the end of May if you want to go up there with us for that. Junior camp, teen camp are on here. So important for your kids. The most important decisions I made in my life as a young person were all made at camp. Now, that's just me. But I'm telling you, I'm thankful my parents were faithful at sending me to camp, and I can't encourage it strong enough for you to do that for your kids as well. We like to send our kids away. They can't come home as easily, all right? Well, it didn't come out the way I intended it, okay? I'm saying we like to send our kids away because they can't easily come home. Get them out of their comfort zone and get them into a spiritual environment where they can make good decisions. It's a great thing. So do that for your kids. Plan on that. VBS is on here, our Sportsman Night for the guys. That's a great outreach event. Incredible last year. Over 200 people came out for that. So we're going to do it again in August in conjunction with Dolores Baptist. The second build offering is in September there. We're going to try to take a group out to Spiritual Leadership Conference with us this year. If you're interested in that, that's something you can mark down as well that you want to get involved with. The one big conference we're going to have this year is our missions conference. We have a veteran missionary, Jamie Smithy, who's coming out to preach for us at our missions conference. And that's such an important thing for us every year. God uses it. And so that'll be the 1st of October. Here's something fun we're doing different this year. In October, instead of having one Harvest Festival Sunday, the whole month is going to be, we're calling it Cortez Harvest Days. Every Sunday in October is going to be something different. We'll give away pumpkins one Sunday, and we'll have some kind of carnival and chili cook-off one Sunday. And so every single one of those is going to be an outreach Sunday and a fun festive Sunday for us throughout the month of October. And so you keep that in mind there. Let's see here. The rest of the stuff is pretty standard stuff that we do there and fun stuff and important. Now, let me summarize all of this. I know I've just blasted you with a lot of information. At the very least, I hope your heart is stirred. Stirred to be a part of what God's doing at our church. And through all of these details, God wants to use us to make a difference. And that starts with us being committed to the fundamental practices that God uses to help a church make a difference. And so whatever God's spoken to your heart about, I hope that you will be willing to take that step as we together strive together as a church to make a difference this year. This is what we're going to do. We're already over time quite a bit here, but I do want to have a corporate invitation before we're done. But we are going to do it together as a church. And so as we close things down here, I want us to take some time to consider what has just been put in front of us for us as a body. And I want you to partner up with some people who are around you, right? And you may want to pray with your family. I encourage you to at least involve somebody else outside of your nuclear family from this body. I want us to partner together as a church to take some corporate time to pray together and ask for God to use us as a body to make a difference in our community for Christ this year. All right? And so let's all stand together as we get ready to do this. Now, after you finish praying, don't tune me out yet. After you finish praying, I want you to fellowship. I just don't want you to fellowship in here, okay? Because there will be other people praying. So once you finish praying, quietly slip out to the lobby there, and we can carry on conversation and have a good time fellowshipping out there. The church, I love you all. I'm excited about what God's doing in our church. I do believe the best days are ahead, and I want to keep going forward. And I want to see God use us to make a difference this year. And so you partner with some people who are around you. Take 2 or 3, 4 or 5 people, and let's just take a minute to pray together and ask God to use us to make a difference as we get into this year. You guys are dismissed to pray together.